back with Jim Unruh with us on this Saturday morning, a nice extended conversation. I want to change direction a little bit. Coach Unruh, I know we've talked about this before, and we kind of began our conversation this morning. What's the future of football, you think? I mean, are you concerned a little bit? I use Illini West a little bit as an example. I think your 2010 team had 84 kids on the roster. Yeah, and I know enrollment's declining down there like it is in our area, but I see this year I think they have, what, 47, 48, some more kids like that. And there's a lot of similar type of decline in number situations. Is football going to make it, you think?
I think football's going to make it. You know, I can speak best towards the program I'm at now. 5 years ago, Coach Cook was on a mission to take a program that wasn't doing real well and to build it up. And we had, you know, perhaps in the low 30s, maybe even 20s, 5 years ago with that program. And you know, we went through an 0-8 season, and it was quite humbling, I can say to me. But I was always amazed. Every practice, those kids would come back out. It didn't matter who they were playing and such. They always came back for practice, and they did a good job in working out. We look forward now to 2017, and here we are. We're at 68 players right now. And, you know, we've just increased our numbers, and it's been a great thing. But, you know, how we coach football, at least at West Hancock, has really changed over the years from what I coached. And you know, one of the big things we do is with tackling and the issue of concussions, we very seldom, in fact, we went live, I think, one day this year where we went 11-on-11, and we didn't even bring the guys to the ground then. We form tackle quite a bit. We teach our kids to keep their head out of football. How we teach tackling is completely different to how I was teaching tackling 10 years ago. And I think it's a much better way. And for coaches that aren't on board, they need to get on board. But you know, we've got to think of the safety of the players, and that would be great. But that's one of the big things for us is we keep the head out of our tackling. We are very safety conscious, but you know, for us, we've really built the numbers.
Well, and I think, though, and that's fortunate for you, I think that is kind of the exception to the rule. And I don't know what the trend, what's contributing to the trend. You know, I think concussion issues, the head trauma, that has something to do with it. And, you know, I think, too, Coach, that football, I don't know if it's fairly or unfairly, is criticized for a lot of this off-season commitment. But then, you know, the other sports are kind of doing the same thing that they're accusing football of, where if they're saying you're devoting too much time in the off-season to football, well, then other sports, they're, to combat that, they're doing, they're doing the same stuff in the off season where those kids are required to play other sports during so-called football, where that could be contributing to some of the number loss. And then one of my issues, I really believe, and I think my generation of parenting is somewhat responsible for it, and I can say that I'm at fault a little bit, is, you know, having kids play youth sports about, you know, kind of the games to practice ratio. You know, when you play youth sports, you play 60 games now and have what, maybe two practices a week. You know, you look at the sport of football where just we're talking about practice. You know what, you got 14 days or somewhere around there, or 16 days of practice before you play one game, and then you have 4 days of practice before you play another game. So the games to practice ratio is working against football when kids are conditioned to play way more games at a younger level and not practice enough. So, I mean, do you take any of that stuff into account at all?
Well, I can tell you what we do, and I think it works for us. A couple things. In our summer, we have camp. We have camp for 5 days is all. That's the first thing. Second thing, we go to a 1 7-on-7 passing event. in the summer where we play about four games in one evening, and we have practice for that 7-on-7 the same day as the 7-on-7 for about a half hour. So we try to get all the passing out of our system at an early time so we don't have to pass too much during the season. Second thing, though, is we keep practices very short. We are a team that practices 2 hours a day maximum, and we don't go over 2 hours. We start at 3:45, and we are done by 5:45 every day. And if we don't get what we want to get done by 5:45, we're still done. And I think that alleviates some of that burden of, you know, the old two-a-day practice where you might have used to go 8 to 11, and then, you know, I think we used to go 8 to 11 and then 1 to 4 or 4 to 6 or something like that. And, you know, I think that helps build numbers. We try to have a lot of fun with the players, but keeping those practices short and energetic and fun has definitely helped. But, you know, we don't require a lot of our players as far as summer camp too much, and we really want our players being out for multiple sports. You know, if they're playing basketball, that's great. If they're out for track, that's great. Wrestling, you know, we want them to be active in different sports, different activities, and, you know, we like the concept of sharing players, and, you know, I love the football player that's playing in band at halftime, so I'm probably a lot different than most football coaches have been, you know, on that, but I always think that's pretty awesome when before a game or at halftime we have a player playing.
Yeah.
I think that's a small school football and at its best, and I just think that's a great example.
Did you think, though, the sport, and I'm talking about, you know, from the southern tip to the northern tip to the eastern edge to the western edge, do you think the sport in general is to, you know, as a whole, can embrace that as what you just mentioned, you know, because a lot of the times we get the image of people will say that, you know, football is a grind and, you know, some of it's not supposed to be fun. You see what I'm saying? I mean, how you describe it where, yes, it is fun and we can keep it fun, and no, it's not a grind. I mean, can you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think you need to embrace the fun. And I'm going to give you an example of keeping things fun. About a week ago, we played one of the Missouri schools just across the border from us at Clark County, and we pulled off a close victory. And actually, a week before that, we went to St. Louis and played Miller Career Academy, number 2 ranked team in the state of Missouri at the time, and we beat them handily. And Monday, we get ready for this Clark County team, and you could just tell the players were a little bit, they weren't really ready to practice. And I said something to the fact that I should have just brought my lawn chair out here and watched practice because they just weren't in the mood to practice. We got done early, but having that sense of humor that our players do, on Tuesday I come out to practice and there's a lawn chair sitting out there for me. So I look at the players and they're laughing about it, and they're just thinking that was a great situation. We laughed about it, and, you know, we had a great week of practice, so... Well, I think you got to have fun. I think you got to find ways to have fun with the players and make it exciting. And, you know, I think having short, quick practices definitely helped that out. I think those three-hour practices that when I was young and foolish, I thought you had to have 3 hours to get everything in. And I found out you just got to be a little bit more prepared. And 2 hours is more than enough.
Well, I was going to, you know, a perfect segue, because I'm big into, you know, how does the coaching community, you know, how do they need to promote the sport to reverse the trend? Now, I don't think we're going to get all those numbers back that we've lost in terms of participation numbers with the sport of football, but I still think you can maintain a steady number across the state. But, you know, like, the image of football, you know, I think the sport has to be so conscious. And I know you're born and raised in the Quad Cities, went to Moline High School. There was a headline in the paper this week, and it was from a school board meeting. Okay, Unruh, are you ready to hear this?
I think I've heard this one. I think my mom sent it to me, actually, but go ahead.
Orion schools prepare to confiscate kids' footballs. So They're talking about kids that are at football games, you know, high school football game on a Friday night where they have pickup football games. And apparently there's some complaints over kids playing. I understand the liability. I get that. And, but that's the headline. So, I mean, that's where I say, man, that doesn't help the sport of football. And again, I'm not out to criticize Orion. I get it. I understand the liability, but I think it's more of an issue of kids in general just running around at football games. And I know many people will tell me here in Aledo, well, a lot of the, you know, football tradition at Aledo back in the day was developed in some of those pickup games during the high school games that are going on. A lot of kids can tell stories about that. And I don't know, that's just kind of, and that's just one of the things where I say, boy, that's not good for the sport of football. And we always complain about, you know, kids don't want to play games on their own, do stuff like this, do stuff like that. And then I see something like that. Maybe I'm just getting old and cranky. I don't know.
I will tell you this. I my mom sent me that article, and I read it, and it really put a big smile on my face, in fact, that other schools do that. You know, the fact that I'm glad to see other schools, kids are out playing football and whatnot, you know, at West Hancock before games. Sometimes I'll sneak a peek, and there'll be a football flying around, and they'll be getting after it. And, you know, at Illini West, in the field behind our home bleachers, there was always a game of, 20, 30, 40, 50 kids. It'd be, you know, players from both places playing. I remember going to, you know, even Augustana football games many, many years ago when my dad was coaching at Augustana. I can remember the Coach Reed's sons sometimes. They looked like they were playing a football game on the sideline. Right in front of the game. So, you know, if you want to call that a problem, I think it's a good problem.
Yeah.
I guess it's a good problem, and I understand what you're saying with the, you know, the liabilities and this and that, but, you know, to me, it just puts a big smile on my face, you know, that, you know, I'll admit at times, you know, we'd go to halftime of a game, and I'd see this game going on, and at halftime, I would quit talking to our coaches because I'd get caught up in watching this this game of 40 kids running around with one football, and you know, you got friends from Carthage playing against the opponent from Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know 15 minutes ago, but there they are playing with one football. If they don't have a football, they're playing with a rolled up ball of towels or something. So that's been going on for a long, long time, and, you know, just puts a big smile on my face.
And I get it. You know, I understand what administration, they want kids to watch the game. I get that. And I'm going to be, you know, again, the liability standpoint, where I understand where they're coming from. But I would criticize, too, that parent, that if a kid gets hurt playing one of those pickup games and then wants to sue the school district, I'll take those people to task too, because you know what you know as a parent, when you're, even if you take, and I'll readily admit, when I take my kids to games, they run around. I probably should be a better parent, but it's a social setting. And what I look at is, okay, those kids that you're not going to let them play that pickup football game, right? So what are they going to do? They're going to go in the stands. They're going to watch a game. No, what are they going to do? They're going to get on what? They're going to get on their phone, who we always complain all the time about those kids on their phone too much, and that's what they're going to be back doing, being back on their phone, and we're going to be mad about that too.
I will guarantee you that when my dad was coaching, I was one of those kids with my brothers playing behind the bleachers and getting after it, and I'll guarantee you my son John was supposed to be watching games and maybe his dad coach. I guarantee you he was one of those kids behind the bleachers throwing a football and getting bumps and bruises and all that good stuff and having a good time also. So good or bad, you know, I was part of the problem or part of the fun, and you know, I understand both ends of it.
Yeah, and I'm sensitive about the promotion of the sport. Sports in general. All right, so our time is winding down, but Coach Unruh gave me an idea. I would really like to do it later this school year, and have Welter, Unruh, Poposi, and Mike Lawler come in, and we do an extended sit-down about coaching high school football. That would be a great panel to come in. So I'll let Unruh try and organize that. We could maybe do it over Christmas vacation and get all you guys in here. Are we maybe could even do it on location somewhere. Will you promise to work on that for me?
I will definitely, you know, probably before this season is out, I will see most of those people or be in contact with them. And I would absolutely love to do that. We just got to find a time and a place, and you know, might have to be after football season, as we're all pretty busy now.
Sure, yep.
But, you know, I would love to meet and greet with them. Just tell me this: are you going to be in charge of buying the pizza for us?
Yes, I would. A poor radio guy like me, I'd even do that.
If you supply the pizza, I think I can get most of those guys there.
All right. Well, we used to give Unruh the old business when he was coaching Carthage and Illini West, and he'd take on the beloved Green Dragons or the beloved Golden Eagles, but a good dude out there coaching. It's always great to get his insight, and I know we'll post this interview on our social media content too. So listen to what Unruh said in the first segment about conference affiliation and scheduling, and I'll tell everyone, can I get an amen on that? Coach Unruh, thanks a lot. Have a good rest of the season. Good luck to the West Hancock Titans.
Thank you very much, Jim. Have a good day.
Yep, good to talk with Jim Unruh. More on WRMJ in a moment.